broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 3rd. No, I'm sorry, September the 2nd. It is September the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is indeed hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. As you know, we reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. Quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on Becky Akers, well-known author, well-known columnist. She writes about the abuses of the TSA and more. She's also an author of two incredible books. One book's called Hailstorm, all about one of the greatest patriots ever known, Nathan Hale. The other book is called Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you probably haven't heard. Incredible new novels. Get them before they're banned today. Search for them on the internet by name, Becky Akers, Hailstorm, or Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold. We talked about Harvard epidemiologist Martin Koldreff. Basically, he says, hey, major studies demolish case for vaccine passports, natural immunity much better, offers exponentially much more protection than the vaccines. Yeah, Art Moore, WND.com, doing a great job. Anyway, this Martin Koldreff gentleman from Harvard doing a great job standing up, telling the truth. The mainstream press just doesn't know what to do with this guy because his credibility is beyond approach. And telling the truth, leveling with the American people. You know what? These passports are a disaster. It's a control agenda, not a science-backed reality. That's for sure. The CDC research now shows that vaccinated individuals are still being infected. Yeah, breakthrough infections, they say they're rare. But every time you turn around, you know how rare it is when more vaxxed people are sick. Nevertheless, they're still being infected, and they're still spreading COVID. In fact, research now shows that they have as much virus in their throats and in their noses than the non-vaccinated. So this idea of vaccinations being the great secret, the break key, is an absolute lie if you ask the Harvard professional. And if you look at the research, even from the CDC itself, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about COVID vaccines less effective at preventing hospitalizations. Now, CDC admits why. They blame it on the Delta variant. Nevertheless, again, you know what? It's like the flu every year. Doesn't the flu change? Aren't the strains different every single year? Well, COVID might be morphing or mutating, whatever you want to call it, changing strains, new strain, faster than even yearly. Now they're saying you might need three booster shots a year to keep up. How safe and effective is the vaccine that you need to have three times a year just to keep up? Not very effective, if you ask me. The safety questions, more and more people dying from taking the jab, more and more people getting sick from taking the jab, SARS database blowing up with new and more information daily, and it's getting worse by the day as well. That was hour one with Becky Akers. Hour two, we talked about resistance to vaccine mandates grows among tens of thousands of Americans. People are getting sick of it. They're realizing that they played a con game for us. They said, what, 10 to 14 days to flatten the curve? Now it's been, what, 20 plus months? And it's worse than ever, isn't it? Maybe what they're doing isn't working. Is that an idea you might contemplate? Just wondering. Judge now orders Ohio hospital to treat COVID-19 patient with ivermectin, despite the CDC warning. See, the CDC says ivermectin doesn't work. It's very dangerous. Frontline doctors and others are saying that's completely bogus. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, ivermectin absolutely works. I'm here to tell you. Within hours of getting ivermectin and doxycycline myself, along with increased doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, literally got me off oxygen in hours. So if they tell you it doesn't work, I'm here to tell you they're absolutely full of baloney. It absolutely does. work does make a huge difference. And why the CDC and your government is opposed to it is beyond me. They say, well, ivermectin doesn't have enough studies. Yeah, neither does your experimental bioweapon called the vaccine. Yeah, and when your lead doctor is the one that helped gain-of-function research, and then an intentional leak from a lab, which is my personal view to which I'm entitled, you kind of go, wow, we're going to trust your experimental vaccine when we know vaccines are very deadly, very dangerous, but yet ivermectin, time-tested, safe in appropriate levels for decades, and we're not even going to give that consideration, but yet we say we don't want to overwhelm the hospitals. Something is wrong with their dishonest narrative, ladies and gentlemen. Call a halt to their con game and don't stand for it, please. We also talked about state now demands blood of newborns, a big old battle in Michigan. They're trying to use the DNA of babies and youngsters and everything else. Cops and others are accessing these samples. A judge decided, hey, wait a minute, hold on, this is unconstitutional. Stop, you can't be doing this kind of stuff. Thank heavens for that. The battles, the epic battles continuing in multiple states as well. Why would government be allowed to create a database of our DNA, folks? This is out of control, power grab by government. Government literally, sadly, is starting to become the enemy of the people. Now, when I say government, let's be clear, it's rogue agents at this point. You and I can reclaim the proper role of constitutional government if we just use the checks and balances, if we just use elections and recalls, and if we just get involved in the solutions. When people are not engaged, it goes off the rails fast. When we, the people, demand accountability, we get it. For example, this big old lawsuit about the blood thing. People stood up and won, stopped the state from gathering DNA samples of newborns. What a win. Good stuff when people stand up, I'll tell you right now. Lies, lies, and more lies is what I call it. America's longest, immoral, unjust, unconstitutional criminal war ends. Why do I say all that? Because it was never even a declared war, and we spent billions of dollars for 20 years and came out the loser. What kind of a war is that? It certainly isn't a constitutional one. It certainly isn't a moral one. It certainly isn't a just one. I mean, I can continue, right? I think we ought to have war criminals be charged with war crimes. What a sad tale to tell. Congressman, U.S. Representative Madison Hawthorne of North Carolina spoke out, is predicting bloodshed if elections in America continue to be rigged. So let me get this clarify here. So Madison Hawthorne, a North Carolina congressman, is saying, hey, if we continue to have rigged elections, you're going to see bloodshed, man. This can't continue. I pray he's wrong, but predict he's right. That's a recap of yesterday's show. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Without further ado, it all starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations.
Yeah, howdy, you missed howdy, that. Howdy.
Thank you, Sam.
LocalHoneyMan.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We also have Brian Rust, RustQuittingGift.com, well-known in his own right. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you and Kurt this morning. I'd say buenos dias, but I can't really speak that language very good, so I'll just hold tight on that.
So you just say, hey, man, what's happening?
That's right.
All right, what you do is you tell us where gold's sitting now in the Honest Money Report, sir.
Gold on the exchange right now is at 1813.
All right, 1813.00.
Yep, up about $28.40 from last week.
All right, 1813 for gold. What's silver looking like?
2420. Up about 60 cents from last week.
That's up 60 cents?
About, yeah, 60 cents up from last week.
All right, it's not supposed to be up. I was about to buy some. I was hoping it would dip real quick and I could buy a chunk, and then well, it would go back up, Brian.
Yeah, you're paying about the same as you were last week, regardless of the ups and downs. So,
oh, wait a minute. The ups and downs aren't affecting what I buy?
Yeah, it's...
Isn't that kind of unintentional price fixing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. Supply-demand really kind of runs the things, if you ask me. I mean, I think that's the way it should be done.
Kurt's plan demand to run in reality despite the paper push price.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's right. You know what? One thing, Kurt should be happy. Rhodium's up $1,000, so it's $18,000 down from over the $20,000, but it's up $1,000 from last week. So Kurt could be a little happier this morning.
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy of mine that had bought an older, big Ford truck, and he said, "Man, I bought that thing for like $400, and just the catalytic converter with the rhodium and I guess palladium's in there and a couple other things." He says that thing's worth $500 out of the $400 I spent. You know, so I didn't know that catalytic converters had rhodium in them.
Well, that's why they call it rhodium, because that dude goes on the road. You know what I'm talking about?
That's really good point.
Get the rhodium.
Yeah, see, Kirk Cosby's got a garage full of rhodium, though, and so he's, you know. But wasn't rhodium at a high of like 28,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it got up about that high, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Kurt's, you know, gained $1,000 back of his money, but, you know, kind of rough. What you're supposed to do with rhodium is buy low and sell high, right, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's what the traders all say, right?
All right. You got all kinds of issues happening in the economy, shortages everywhere. I don't know if you guys know this, but Costco now is saying they're going to start to ration once again. They say that, hey, you know, because of the COVID Delta variant, you know, everybody's getting sick and the COVID's going and people are starting to panic and buy TP again. So they're going to have to regulate how much TP and other products you get to make sure there's enough for everyone. We'll come back and talk about that with Kurt Cosby, Brian Rust, and I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only nationally syndicated Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live. So I wanted to give Kurt Cosby a chance. Then we'll have Brian Rust speak out on this. They're starting to ration products all over the place. So rationing going on due to supply chain issues because of the COVID. Everything's because of the COVID, don't you know? It doesn't matter what happens now. It's the COVID caused it, just so you know. I don't know how unrelated it is. It doesn't matter. It's all the COVID. It's related for sure. Even if good things happen, it's the COVID they want you to believe to some degree. It's kind of crazy. Anyway, nevertheless, Costco really starting to ration products. Do you think other companies will start doing this? And what kind of a supply chain? Do you think it'll affect food? And I mean, are we going to have a famine going on? What do you think, Kurt?
Well, You know, at least I've got personal experience with it, Sam. I mean, we've been waiting for, I think more than a month, if not even more than that, for certain bottles that we use as we bottle our honey. And, you know, they tell us when I checked with them lately, probably another 3 weeks. And I don't really have a lot of... confidence that in 3 weeks I'm going to really see those for sure. And I think so many places are having the same thing to deal with. It just makes sense if you have, Joe so-and-so that has a job in a certain place and he's, exposed to the corona, and then they tell him, he must take time off. So that means, that one guy doesn't show up to work, and so-and-so, somebody else doesn't show, or they have to move over. And, before you know it, those kind of things add up, I think. And then you have this other problem, at least in my opinion, and that is when the government provides free money for people that don't work, it almost encourages not working, doesn't it?
Amen to that. So what are you going to do without any bottles? Are you just going to put honey in pouches? What options do you have?
Well, we usually would use our 2 ounce bottles and then 8 ounce bottles and 1.5 pounds. So the 8 ounce ones are the ones that we're having trouble getting. So we've been trying to do the best we can to get as many 2 ounce ones as we can to stay ahead of that game. And so that we've at least got those. And then we've got the 1.5 pound ones. And so we, it just kind of cuts down people's choices. So far, at least we've got that option.
Yeah, because the COVID isn't pro-choice there.
Good point, Sam.
Yeah. All right, interesting. So I guess you just buy it in different sizes or whatever to try to make it up for now. And that just is because at least it isn't a worse problem now. I mean, if you can't get other bottles eventually and everything else, you're going to have a real problem, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, there's... it just like cuts out different things. And like you say, one thing affects another, I think. And so, at least when it comes to Brian and Russ Coyne, I wonder, we've seen these deals where you get told the price of silver is a certain thing or the price of gold. And then, you go and try to get some and he says, I've got some right now, or maybe I don't, the real rubber when it comes to it, when the rubber meets the road, is if you can really get it. Right, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've been saying all along, you start preparing now, buy a little here, a little there, starts to add up. Hey, one factor I might throw in here, Kurt, is I have these tubes that hold coins. Possibility that maybe you take a dime tube, a quarter tube, a half dollar, $2, whatever tubes. Yeah, if you need tubes, we might be able to fill a little honey in those tubes. So instead of a roll of dimes, you might have a roll of honey.
Good point. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's what as they say,
the mother of invention, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Good job, Sam.
That's incredible.
Yeah, we'll try to come through.
Like to test that out. The good part about a roll of honey is you can put that dude in your pocket and honey, you can just start sipping on that stuff, getting just a burst of energy going on throughout the day and stuff like that. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, we do have the honey sticks that are available that, we get like 20,000 of those at a time. Brian knows about those.
Yeah, but this is like a honey fire hose
at his place. That's right. This is a little bigger than a honey stick. I suppose we'll be looking at those options if we can't move ahead. Plus, the other thing is, just so you know, where our those particular bottles typically come to us from our buddies there in Taiwan. And when you hear about whole thing about China wanting to, communist China wanting to take over the Taiwanese free people, then you see how that could affect a number of things, couldn't it?
Yeah, communists flexing their muscles. That's not really very common. Wow, what a shame. What a disgrace. But again, as we manipulate the world and create blowback all over the world and hatred for America due to our actions breaching the sovereignty of others and everything else, you know, it's not surprising that other people would start to flex their muscles and say, you know, we're not really looking forward to this. We're not happy about that. So I guess what I'm saying to you is it's predictable. All right, Brian, what do you think? Do you think we're going to have a bunch of shortages elsewhere? Do you think this is going to get worse, or do you think this is just a few temporary blips and it'll be okay?
No, I think so. I think it's kind of a, you know, looking back at kind of what's been going on for the number of years right now, it almost looks like they're, you know, it's a testing ground per se, and just see how the people react or see what we can do and throw this and here's another thing. And if that doesn't work, we're going to try something else so that we can ultimately really kind of, you know, get the control we need and kind of force people. And so, and I, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost a test. Okay, here's the first test. You know, we went through it. The paper products were, couldn't get them, and we needed the masks, and we needed the sanitation things for everything. And we don't want to get it. And yet we're still getting it, you know, masks, vaccinations, everything. So it's almost like a big testing thing to just see where, if the people are going to be like sheep and we can just push them here, there, follow here, whatever, or if they'll kind of stand and fight against it. And so it really looks like kind of a testing thing, you know, and let's try this now. And here's another shortage of this, or here, it just seems like they're going to kind of, to get control or so on, they'll use whatever means possible to kind of just move us along and get in the cattle gate so that we can throw the old, what was it, you put on the cow, your brand, maybe that's what they're doing. They're getting us in these gates, get the jab.
Yeah, you're either the vaccine brand or you're out there.
There you go. There you go.
Now, it's a good point. I think Brian's right on this, and I think they are looking for which trigger flashpoints will make the biggest control difference, which ones we'll push back against. And, you know, they see when we start to push back against something, they kind of back off and change their way of going about it and everything else. And, you know, Brian's, I think, right about the core discussion with a lot of
this. I'll give you a little piece of, in my opinion, some good news. You know, and in America, you've got those different branches of government or different sectors, if you will, or, you know, federal, state, county, et cetera. So there's been some reports, very few, you know, really pushed forward reports about it, but that states are beginning to say, hey, we're not going to just keep handing out free bucks to people that don't work, which makes me hope that, you know, this will more and more spread. Now, the problem that I see is you've got the federal government that really doesn't want to stop handing out free money, and they really don't have to, quote, pay for anything because they just print it for free, if you will. And so that's, you know, that's going on. But hopefully the states will maybe, you know, make a difference that way, you know.
Hey, can y'all print me up a few free Ben Franklins? I'm kind of running low.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just insane what's going. I mean, it's just crazy, ladies and gentlemen. Will we stand for people just literally not working but getting a handout from government? Are we really going to back a universal basic income? Are we really going to lay down and take all these things? Or are we going to say no? It robs people of their dignity. You know what? The government doesn't have authority or money to do this in the first place. You know, it's going to be a serious, serious, epic battle going on for the hearts and minds of the American people. And I think the people are resilient. I think the people have a long fuse, a lot of patience. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know what? When we're 22 months into this or whatever we are, I think people are starting to get sick of it. They're going, wait a minute. You know what? Fauci and crew have lied to us over and over and over. And you know what? We're not going to buy their lies anymore. We're not going to take it. Now they're starting to say, the CDC is saying right now, if you're not vaccinated, you really shouldn't travel for this holiday. You know, Labor Day coming up, right? You really shouldn't travel for this holiday. You unvaxxed. You need to stay home, okay? And people are going, are you kidding me right now? We'll come back, talk about it. The Chrysler cars are out of control. Wow. Well, I've got details. Brian and Kurt comment in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Family and friends of dozens of students from Sacramento, California have made a desperate plea for help to ensure their loved ones stuck in Afghanistan return home safely. American leaders made the tactical decision to leave Americans behind with the fall of Kabul, Afghanistan. Officials with the San Juan Unified School District in Sacramento confirmed a total of 29 students are stuck in Afghanistan. In addition, dozens of students from El Cajon, a suburb east of San Diego, were also stranded in Afghanistan. The National Weather Service recorded 3.15 inches of rain in Central Park in 1 hour overnight. The remnants of Hurricane Ida continue to create havoc in the Northeast over the past 24 hours. Heavy winds, drenching rains, and at least one tornado also battered Pennsylvania and New Jersey, collapsing the roof of a U.S. Postal Service building and threatening to overrun a dam east of Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The Heartbeat Act in Texas bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The legislation is a voice for the most vulnerable in our nation, the unborn child. The CDC says nearly 620,000 abortions took place in 2018 nationwide. The Supreme Court of the United States, in a late-night vote Wednesday, ruled 5-4 to keep the Texas law in place. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the Supreme Court had, quote, delivered catastrophe to women in Texas, end quote. There's a new variant of the coronavirus. Dan Naraki has more.
The World Health Organization has identified another coronavirus variant of interest. The B1621 variant, known as the Mu variant, was first identified in Colombia in January and has since been seen in 39 countries. The WHO says that Mu has mutations that may evade the protections of the current vaccines. There have only been a few larger outbreaks of Mu, mostly in Colombia and Ecuador. The WHO says that further study of the variant is needed to fully understand its characteristics.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Rust, RustCoinAGift.com, Kirk Crosby, LocalHoneyMan.com on your radio. Owning a new vehicle costs nearly $10,000 a year, they say. Yeah, they say that a global semiconductor chip shortage has led to price hikes and car shortages. They say these vehicles, the reason the costs are so much is they looked at six different categories of expenses. Fuel, maintenance, repair, tire costs, insurance, license, registration, taxes, depreciation, and finance charges. They say the average price of new vehicles recently topped $40,000, according to research site Edmunds. And they say depreciation, a measure of how quickly car loses value, makes up 40% of all ownership expenses. Cars typically, you know, decline in value. Fuel is the second highest cost at 17%. Maintenance at 15%, and then it goes down from there, insurance and so on. I want to get right to Brian Rust on this one. What do you think, man? The average cost of a new car tops $40,000, and they say, really, you're talking about big money now for a car, nearly $10,000 a year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we're seeing the prices of a lot of things really escalate. I was talking to a good friend of mine who works at a dealership, and he says there's 1,000 trucks that are sitting and they can't sell them because they don't have a chip. And it's interesting to note that the majority of our chips are coming out of China. And so one more avenue, you know, that we're subsidizing all these, you know, elements out into other countries, which now have control over us as far as, okay, well, yeah, you can have a new vehicle there and your manufacturers can put together trucks and whatever it is. But if you can't have a chip and you can't, then you can't drive that truck. And it's really interesting. So one more point, sorry, my wife mentioned on that fact, she said, you know, we should be going, stepping back, you know, getting back to the automobile that we used to, you know, the farmer could take care of himself and he could replace parts and so on and fix it right there. We don't have to plug in our computer. We don't have to, you know, where it could just be, you know, this, that, and the other, but we could build these vehicles. You know, the industry of kind of what made America great is building these vehicles that we had. We could create the parts, we'd have, you know, put them down the line, and they weren't major money like we are today. And at their, you know, as they can't get a chip, we can't even drive them. So that was her thought. I thought, yeah, good idea, go back to what we used to have.
Well, I think your wife nailed this discussion, Brian.
Yeah,
I think she's right as rain.
You know, those trucks that would run forever. Kurt probably had a truck. You know, you get into the 70s or 60s, you know, whatever. So, you know, those trucks would run forever and still run today. You can get a part.
Well, it's a great point. And so many times, I mean, we feel it almost makes you. I know folks might say, well, man, you bring that up at the drop of the hat. But, you know, it makes you think of the whole voting situation, Sam, and the voting deal there, where we're so sophisticated now. We've got all these fancy voting machines, and yet where should we really be? Paper and a pencil. And when it comes to vehicles, you know, we got cars that'll go beep beep when we walk up to them, or we, you know, just squeeze something in our hand and it starts our car from way away. Yet what happens if we don't have those little chips, or if somebody, you know, does some little, you know, oh, I mean, something that melts the chip, we're stranded. And in the days of old, when we had those like VW Bugs, or like the old international truck, you know, where, like Brian says, you know, you looked at it, you put your gas in here, you had a little spark plug, you know. I mean, what was there? It wasn't too sophisticated. It certainly didn't require you to have some computer degree to run your vehicle. And yet, you know, it's kind of where
But you know, those are climate change disasters, don't you, gentlemen?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's the problem with them there now. No, see, I agree with you, though. All this new stuff on vehicles, to where it's just like, hey, it's super safe and super this and high-tech that and da-da-da. And, you know, you look at all the regulations about the airbags and the seat belts and the this requirement and the that requirement, the fuel efficiency. And the bottom line is, in America especially, they have regulated the automotive industry to death. And you got to really kind of ask yourself, what percent of a car cost is due to mandated regulatory realities that car dealerships must deal with on a daily basis? How much of that is really in the price of the vehicle? You know, what kind of vehicles could you put together if you took away a lot of those regulations? And I understand that, you know, they want things to be safe, and I get it. I also get that, you know what, airbags are as dangerous as they are positive. You know, if you put a little kid in the front seat, oh, you can't do that anymore. You know, if you put a woman here, oh, man, you can't do that. You know, and so oftentimes the airbags are more dangerous than not. And so a lot of these regulations, there's even a debate about how effective or valuable they really are. Research down the road goes, oh, I guess it wasn't as good as we once thought it was. Well, that's after literally billions of dollars of regulatory forced, you know, costs of build and expenditure on the part of the American people. It's out of control. But when you say $10,000 a year per vehicle, and most families have to have, you know, two cars if, you know, husband and wife both work or whatever else, with rare exception, you're talking big money, big expenses on the family there. And I don't know, you know, if anything's going to be done about it, but I agree. I long for the days of simple cars. I long for the days where you could work on your own vehicle because you could understand, hey, you know what, fuel, oxygen and spark or whatever. Hey, that, you know, these simple components are what matter. You know, I wish we could get back to those days. But, you know, I can't even find vehicles with actual manual roll down windows anymore, or, you know, some of those simple things. And, you know, all that stuff just adds expense, expense, expense. I'm not surprised we're topping 10,000. And now that we got a chip crisis, my response is, why do we have to have all those chips in the car anyway? Do we got to have all those chips? Is that a must, Brian?
No, you're right. We've just kind of created such a, you know, I don't know what we've created, this place we live now and so on. And getting back to the basics maybe might be, you know, better. Maybe we're so lazy now that, roll down a window. We can't do that. If we can't push this button, I can't roll, you know, down that window. And what's the next shortage? Is it rubber? Maybe we can't get tires. So all our cars just sit there we put them on the front lawn and they become a nice decoration and plant some flowers and stuff around them or something. I you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, they're kind of a hallmark of the real redneck in America, ain't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Put that sucker on blocks in your front yard, now you're somebody.
That's it. So I don't know. And can't get washer blades maybe at some point. And so you can't drive in the rain because then you're out there trying to wipe your windows. You're driving. That can't be safe. But I don't know.
What's and you can't put your kid on the hood and do it by hand like the old days, you know.
That's right. That's it. So I don't know.
Kurt, it's insane. I don't know what to do about it because I expect the problem to get worse. And I think a lot of this is engineered intentionally to get us off the road, to get us out of our cars, because that's what the environmentalists want.
Well, in the great, at least I believe, the cool thing about what this program provides is, hey, if the elected officials and those who are in power really want to make a difference, we can provide solutions easily, can't we, Sam?
Yeah, I don't know how cool that is, though, Kurt.
Well, I know, but, I mean, so many people assume that all we do, or at least all many programs do, is just talk about the problems. But, you know, when it comes to real solutions, we love to present those right here.
Amen to that.
For example, you know, like Brian talks about, hey, just picking up a little bit of gold and silver on a regular basis, you know, stay the course. If we're talking about vehicles, you know, I mean, look for things that you know. Of course, if we're talking about the big picture, like the federal government and all that kind of stuff, then eliminate those, basically those choke points, if you will, that hold back industries, if you will. And we saw that happen with President Trump's presidency. And yet, on the other hand, we see it, you know, on turbo the other way at this time, Sam. And so it's nice to know what the solutions are. We certainly do hope that people will address those solutions by doing, well, what works.
Yeah, and we're kind of at a crossroads. You know, we could jettison a lot of the regulatory hurdles and decrease the cost of cars by making them much more simple and less chip and high-tech oriented, et cetera, less regulatory realities to those. We can go that way. Or what they're going to do is they're going to move us into electric vehicles, which have even a bigger price tag on them as well. That's what the governments all over the place are pushing for. But remember this, new cars lose a tremendous amount of value in the first year or two of ownership, and my recommendation is buy used vehicles, ladies and gentlemen.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, a tidbit of historical context with Brian Rust, RustCoinAgift.com, and Kirk Crosby, LocalHoneyMan.com on your radio with Sam Bushman. Yours truly. The historical context is, I said when Republicans took office this last time that pro-life should be their biggest and most important front line, center stage, whatever you want to say, issue. It's one of the most critical. If we're going to say in America, you know what, it's about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or life, liberty, and property, or whatever. Life is at the start of it all, and if we can't protect the most innocent among us, all rights suffer downhill from there, ladies and gentlemen. And so I mentioned that pro-life was so critical. Donald Trump pretty much agreed and did quite a bit to the best of his ability there, and I appreciate that more so than any other president. Some would say he fell short. I would say let's give him credit for what he accomplished, which was tremendous on the pro-life front compared to other presidents. That's for sure. But I want to kind of tell you this. They always say that everything is bigger and better in Texas. The heartbeat law, ladies and gentlemen, has gone into effect. Yeah, man, they call it the Heartbeat Act. I guess it's called SB 8 in Texas, which bans abortions after the unborn baby as heartbeat can be detected. They say 6 weeks is kind of the time frame for that, etc. And to me, Brian first, then Kurt, this is tremendous news. I think it's the strongest heart or strongest protection of life for babies in America today. And I guess everything's bigger and better in Texas.
There you go. That's a great, no doubt about it. That's absolutely wonderful. You hit it right on. I mean, protecting our unborn and that. I mean, it seems like some of the agenda of this other side is to destroy life and reduce the population and have more control, I guess, that way. But yeah, going against God and His plan is not a good thing.
Kurt?
Well, I can't do much more than really echo, you know, what Brian said. I mean, you can't expect to have a good society, a good economy, good, you know, anything if you don't protect and follow God's laws. And one of the top 10, baby, is, you know, thou shalt not kill. And when we kill the most, the youngest, the smallest, the least protected among us, most that needs the most defense. I just can't get it. It's kind of like when I'm selling honey and I've got, occasionally I got somebody who thinks they want to get their own little toothpick out and put it in the honey thing. I tell them, whoa, wait, back off a little bit here, you know. In America, we've got our principles. I mean, you can't really grab that honey tasting stick or tasting device, which is a toothpick, and dip it in yourself because, I mean, you could have some danger there. And yet, here in America, we do allow the killing of babies. I mean, so, you know, we've got our principles here. But, you know, at least to echo the good news, Sam, out of Texas, is that, hey, man, you know, the Supreme Court has even, you know, let that abortion law stay in place, you know, protecting those babies. Now, the AP, they show these wild-eyed women standing at the federal courthouse or the courthouse in Texas, Austin, Texas, which is, by the way, where you're going to find the most liberal and out-of-control people in Texas, in my opinion, you know, standing there, and they want they leave our bodies alone, you know, and yet what about the bodies of those little babies? You know, the AP just kind of doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and how come there's a disconnect, you know, when it's my body, my choice, or leave our bodies alone? Where are they when it comes to the vaccine, you know, discussion here? I don't want to take the jab there. It's my body. None of them women are standing up for me, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it makes me think a little bit about, gone backwards in the fact of you know, like we become animals, like, in a sense, and what I mean by that a little bit is the fact of there are some animals out there that eat their young, right? I mean, it's almost kind of like that. You're creating this thing, which is a beautiful and a wonderful thing, and we're bringing life and joy into our the world here, and yet we've digressed in the fact of, okay, many people want to eat their young, and that's the way I look at it. They eat their young. Because you don't want to. It's just, I can't even imagine it. It's just unreal.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, but when we first got into radio almost 25 years ago now, we've been in nationally syndicated for 25 years, into radio longer, but almost 25 years ago now, we had a report out of China. It was documented by UPI, United Press International News, so it was a very well-documented source. I don't know if you know, but in China, you can buy baby kind of fetus or baby part or whatever and eat them as kind of a health supplement. So literally, yeah, this is happening around the world, Brian. You're not kind of saying kind of. This is really happening. We have become animalistic, wow, for sure, as we deny God and deny God's procreative power, sir. And so this was literally, yes, almost 25 years ago. So it's worse now. But you literally could buy them as kind of a delicatessen or kind of a delicacy or a kind of a health. I don't know if I should say tonic because it's not liquid, but I guess I'm saying kind of a health solution. Remember this, Karen?
I sure do, Sam. I mean, there's certain things that just kind of, you know, they just stick in your brain there, and that was one of them, I remember. I mean, you try telling somebody about that, and they just, you know, I mean, they just want to look the other direction and or, you know, talk about, hey, what about the ball game, you know, or something like that, you know. Brian and Sam, that's just the way it is. But at least on this Supreme Court deal, where at least you could say, you know, the babies won 5-4, you know, you have the guys that were against it, the four guys that were wanting to, you know, make it so that these babies could continue to be slaughtered, well, include the Chief Justice, John Roberts, you know, along with what the AP calls the three liberal justices. I'm thinking, well, if the Chief Justice included in there, I don't know why they don't call him the four liberal justices. But
well, and he's betrayed us on so many points, it's beyond, right, imagination. And then that always happens, you know. The conservatives, the Republicans get a few good guys on the court, but they always put a bad guy or two or three. I don't know if they just miscalculate or if it's done on purpose, but it certainly rarely works out well for us. And thank heavens for this, what, squeak by decision?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, thank heavens for it. And I wonder, I know this is kind of a weird connection, but just take it for what it's worth, Brian. I want to get your take on this. You know, you have a pro-life stance, and less babies will be murdered. And before God, I kind of wonder if the economy will be better, if the weather will be better, if families will stay together, if a lot of good things and faith. And as Kurt mentioned, that all things are connected. I kind of think this relates.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if we realize who we are and where we came from and where our principles and our rights and all that should be, it definitely should be God under God. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest problems that we see in this country is we've gone away from that. And when we go away from it, now we're going to have major problems. And that's where we're at.
Well, a lot of people in the pro-life movement that are completely 100% against abortion would say, hey, this isn't far enough. And I agree with them. But I would say that, you know what, I'm so grateful for the progress made. It's a start. It proves the states don't have to just listen to the federal government every time. So it's a nullify now kind of an idea. And I commend the people of Texas and the legislative bodies of Texas for getting this done. It's not enough, but it's a start. And I wish Utah would join the parade, Kurt.
Amen.
Well, Sam, you've got to have a courageous governor and representatives. I mean, what the ours do typically is they, you know, suck on their finger and stick it in the wind and see which way the wind is blowing. It seems like to me they don't really want to jump in there and be like, well, like the Texans. The Texans, you go to Texas, you'll see the Texas state flag flying way above the United States flag, and they recognize the importance of it because the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And, you know, when you look at this whole thing, I was looking at the AP story about it where they say, the vote in the case underscores the impact of the death of the liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg last year. And then, so this is how they say, look how terrible this was. And then, you know, they're not saying anything about the terrible killing of babies, but then this is how it happened. And then President Donald Trump replacement of her with conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Had Ginsburg remained on the court, there would have been 5 votes to halt the Texas law, they say.
Do you think we'll get to overturn Roe versus Wade? A lot of people are saying this is setting the stage for that. Do you think it'll really happen, Kurt?
Well, I will say this. I mean, you've mentioned this, but in my opinion, you couldn't hope for a better thing to happen to protect the babies. So that, I mean, you got to look at the big picture, Sam. God in heaven is in charge of the universe, ladies and gentlemen. He's not just, you know, kind of sitting back or whatever. And he gives us 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions, not 10 recommendations, 10 commandments. And among them, I mean, we're talking about thou shalt not kill. And if we want to receive God's blessings, the creator of the universe wants to bless us. If we do keep his laws, his commandments, he has blessings connected to that. You know, I mean, something looks completely opposite of that. You got Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She called her conservative colleagues' decision stunning. I would say, man, you know, it's stunning that she is stunned by that, if you ask me. Then they quote,
it is a little bit stunning that you have to go to extreme lengths to defend life in America.
Babies.
I agree with her on that.
That's right. And you know, and the whole idea of them telling us, man, get your mask on. We don't want you getting sick. But, of course, we can continue to kill babies. You know, it just is like, you're talking way out of two sides of your mouth.
Yeah,
they quote Elena Kagan. She called the law patently unconstitutional, and she says it allows private parties
pro-death
to
is constitutional.
Yeah, to carry out unconstitutional restrictions on the state's behalf. Justice Stephen Breyer said, quote, a woman has a federal constitutional right to obtain an abortion during the first stage of pregnancy. It's kind of hard to find it in your constitution, but I guess he, you know, somehow finds
it. Hey, nothing like unique interpretation. That's why they give opinions. Because it isn't really factually in there, but their opinion says that it is, right? Brian, final words yours, my friend.
Well, we need to turn to God and call upon him to help in this big cause. It's pro-life. I mean, we've got to save these young babies that don't have a chance.
Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, for Brian Rust of RustCoinAgift.com, for Kurt Crosby, LocalHoneyMan.com, and I am Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com, and LovingLiberty.net, we declare there is hope. There are good things. Get involved. Make a difference. Hey, you know what? When you got a problem, you roll up your sleeves, you pray hard, and you work hard, and by golly, good things happen. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.